Rob Natano, Mommy is Stuck in Your Sight.
Did it start?
Hi, we are currently in the Young Israel of Jamaica space about to start a recording of Rob Natano Shir.
Sarah, I did it.
Hello. This is Rob Natano Shir, Moshe Chavez. It's going to be a great one. We're really excited because we love Rob Natano. And if we send this version to Abby, Abby, I love you and I miss you like crazy. And so does Michelle. And so does Sarah.
Abby, I love you.
Slash everyone else.
Are you going to erase it now like you always been?
I've had the pleasure of last year to interact with many of the products that the community has sent to Eric Yisrael, both in Yeshiva, in Kesaret, on the NCS by Holel, and I'm seeing with my own children that the way that they grow up is a product of, certainly a product of the way that that the parents raised them, but also a product of the community and the surroundings that they grow up in. This one, of course, is set by the leaders of the community. I get snippets of some of that stuff up from Mark Carroll's email. I join you in always being astounded at what's being quoted at the bottom of those. I said to give this community only bracha and aslacha, most importantly, simcha. And that the Rabbanim, the strength and the clarity to continue setting the tone. And my personal bracha to you and your family. I was wondering whether we do Birshus the Rabbanim and the community first, or we do a Birshus Barco. I think that we adequately decided that we do host first. I'm not sure if that's the correct thing to do, but close to the Fuat Sanya, obviously that's what was always there, so I'm not sure that's where we start. But there's just the Bari Man Ba'olam, who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly for all the bracha in my life. But I had quite a week in America this week, trying to be a good husband and a good father from long distance, which, as just being a good husband and a good father is possible in the first place, but certainly long distance is definitely more challenging. But to spend countless hours with alumni and with people that I've met over the past few years, it's wonderful to be able to get tikkun hanefesh. Ashrinu b'olam hazeh, to be able to get benefit in this world from all the efforts that we put in, and I am thankful. I am certainly thankful to Hashem Baruch Hu for that. It's just the one trap. Chazal teach us. Actually, doing research for this part, I found out that it's only based on the Yerushalmi of Avodah Zarah, it's not really ever quoted. That very often in life, if we run after Kabbalah, the Kabbalah will tell us Kabbalah will run away from us. And if we steer ourselves away from Kabbalah, and we try to avoid Kabbalah, so then Kabbalah will find a way to pursue us and to follow us. When I'm trying to stretch together details about Naomi Rachel, about Shaphol Kari's life, it wasn't the simplest thing. And the undercurrent of everything that I've heard was you'll never really hear the whole story because we'll never really know, the whole story. A life that was full of doing, but not necessarily showing and not necessarily done in a way that we could know about it. Just to flesh out, for a holiday Saturday night, sometimes we only find out post-facto who really deserves the cover. I'm sure that many of us are here to contribute to Sakara, to Katie, and to certainly in a tribute to this whole legacy and to the memory of your wife and sisters, to you have continued to continue to drop out and only the simple. I'm honored and flattered to be asked share Torah tonight in memory. As often happens, I find in my life. So over the past few days, I ended up scrapping what I wanted to talk about. I mentioned my experience in America this week and what it has been like. And I'd much rather share my feelings of things that I experienced over the past 7 days. I've taken a lesson from it. Maybe you all can learn from my Sunday part. But more importantly to me tonight, for the producer, was just a chance to verbalize and to concretize for myself the lessons that I learned, in the hope that that I will go back to Eric Michelle or Eric Dakota in a much better state. A few weeks ago, Parshas Lech Lecha. It was Friday night. I usually daven in the shul right next door to my house. What a tremendous plus for whoever lives next door to this shul, whoever is planning the further stages of their life. It's always a great plus to live next to a shul. There are certain challenges. The 5 o'clock here and everybody beating their cars and new learning about which stage they're going up in that. That's certainly a challenge, but that all goes into. That all goes into the trust. It's a great, a tremendous benefit for us. My children have the Knesset as a quote-unquote, I want to say playground, but that's where they go. For those who know them, that's where they go to hang out. That's where they have a good time. To benefit from the Rebbe or Shapiro is a tremendous honor for us. It certainly makes my parenting much easier. But one Friday night, Parshas Lech Lecha. There was a bar mitzvah in the shul. The shul was now in the process of building a new building, and there's generally not enough room in the shul to start with, and then there's a bar mitzvah, lots of time, like, how much more so under the bar mitzvah than a real place? And I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm not in the mood tonight for a crowd. You know, maybe I'm gonna go to a different, so I end up going to the, you know, it's not, it's not a thousand and a half before. Happened to be that, that it was right in the left part of Jabba's call was right in the heat of the battle when Mark and Sarah were lightly suggesting to me that it was such a great idea for me to come speak on Moshe Shabbos on the night of the Earth side, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, what am I gonna say? I don't know. And I went to Bob's Mordechai and the Talmud Chacham who was giving the address of that night started as follows. He was talking about the parashat Bob and how Shlach Lecha started in the peace. I said, so I'll be the next month, so we'll be next time. I should do this properly. But for now, Parashat Vav and Parashat Lech Lecha, Avram and Elah, Hashem appeared to Avram, and he said, Avram, don't be afraid. You're going to have a lot of reward. Eomar Avram, public faith. Avram said, Hashem, Elohim, Atisem, Levon, Othiel, Elohim, Ari, Hashem, what are you going to give me? I am barren, I don't have any children, and then Meshach, they see you, that Meshach, Eliezer is going to be the one who's going to inherit my house. And he goes on to make the whole drasha that the first time that we see anybody using the terminology of Adam, to refer to us, the first time that we see this in the whole Torah is in reference to Avram asking Hashem for a child. It's on and on, a beautiful, beautiful Torah. And he says, as we see in the Gemara and Brachos, Tavzayin, Amadeus, Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishimra, Shimra, Bar Yochai, Yom Shabbat Kadosh Baruch Hu Olam, when the Hashem created the world, Lohaya Adam Shekarula Kadosh Baruch Hu Adam. Nobody calls, nobody refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu as Adam. At Shabbat Avram Karu Adam, until Avram came and used the terminology Aleph Dalet Nun Yom. Those who point out that there are people who use Yud Hey Vav and Hey, which we read as Adamus also, but nobody used the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yom until Avram came along in this parak and did it. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, Vayomer at Elokim Bama Edai Ki Yerushem. Who was this? He's smart. He says, yes, the two psukim are in the same parak, and they're actually six psukim apart. But he was reading the whole time. That's what it says. But he says, Abdul, Aleph Dalet Mem Yud, what are you going to give me? There's nobody to inherit my house except for Eliezer. And the Gemara quotes, by Omar. The first time that anybody in the whole Torah referred to Hashem as Aleph Dalet Mem Yud, really, we're looking at Tetzvav Beis for the first time. The Gemara quotes Tetzvav Beis. Now he, it would have ruined the whole Torah. So he at that point, and Tommy was closing. And he whitewashed the whole thing and said, you see, it's in the same Aliyah, and it's not even the same Aliyah, but you see, it's in the same Aliyah, and therefore that's what the Gemara must be, that's what the Gemara must be talking about. The pasuk that the Gemara quotes for the first time that Avram uses the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yod, the pasuk the Gemara quotes is pasuk Bet. I have a pasuk here, pasuk Beis. By Yomer Avram, Avishenu cannot be similar. So why did the Gemara not quote the first pasuk? The quote says, I was a little sad on my thought. Didn't you want me to speak about that? I don't know the answer. Anyway, then I looked. The Tosafot asked that question. Tosafot says, What's going on over here? Why does the Gemara quote the wrong pasuk? And Tosafot answered, and it's probably the right answer. Tosafot answers, Ein Muktzim Mokar BaTorah. But there's a lot of times in the Torah goes out of order. We see it in Harkat Yisrael. We see it a number of times throughout the Torah. Torah goes out of order. Pesach Sheni. There's a concept, Ein Muktzim Mokar BaTorah. Sometimes the Torah goes out of order. The Tosafot spends a whole bunch of lines here explaining why Parak Tetzvav Pasuk Tet really comes before Parak Tetzvav Pasuk Beis. And therefore he says the Gemara is really quoting the right Pasuk. Really, the first time Avram used the word Aleph Dalet Mem Yod is really on the Ziyoy Pasuk Tet. So yeah, like I said, don't mess around with Tosfos. Tosfos is probably the right answer, but there is a sheet in the Gemara Hidden in Nachos that says that the Torah isn't set order. The Torah doesn't really go out of order all the time. So what would the answer according to that opinion? And in general, is there an idea that I'm developing? We'll see if it follows here. One of the major themes for me for this week has been my Tfilah Shmoneh Esrei. A very simple question, yet it's so simple that sometimes we never, or we don't often enough think about the answer to, is why is the bracha pointing Hadas, the first kasha bracha that we make in Shmoneh Esrei? And there are a number of answers. Yerushalmi says, Bobby brings it down also, similar idea, but Yerushalmi, technical answer, why is the bracha for Das, why is the request, why is the first bakasha that we're making in Shmoneh Esrei, why is that for knowledge? Because the Gemara says, we said it tonight in Havdalah, we said, Tafan HaKama, the Gemara says, in Ein Deya Havdalah Minayin, if there's no Das, if you don't have any knowledge, then how can you make Havdalah? That idea alone is enough for us here. But the point that the Yerushalmi and the Bobby, a tangential point that they're trying to make, is that the bracha point in Hadas has to be first. Because when it would come to Matzei Shabbos like tonight, we know that we're not allowed to have requests on Shabbos. And Matzei Shabbos we're going to have a whole series of requests in Shmoneh Esrei, right? So the first bracha that we have to make is Havdalah, because otherwise you can't ask for other requests. Since Havdalah has to be in front of Hadas, so it's all set up. So Das must be the first. Das must be the first. Or we can find other answers as well. A lot of times we ask each other questions for bracha. Sometimes I've seen it in my own life so many times, I don't even realize that what we're asking for is not the right thing. I could have like a whole dream of, oh yeah, this is really the way that I want my world to boil down, and this is what I want to have for my children, and this is what I want to have for my family, and this is what I want to have for my students. And in the end that I see that I was totally misguided, and the things that I was asking for were really, either sometimes it worked out and it ended up there, sometimes it didn't work out, and I know that Hashem was really looking out for me. Sometimes in order to make requests, we need God. We have to know that the more knowledge that we have, and the smarter, you know, and the smarter, but the smarter that we are, so then we could ask for things that are more appropriate. And if someone's giving us knowledge, then we can know that we know the right things to ask for. And on top of that, we would know how to ask for them. We would know the right way how to speak to ourselves as powerful. What are the feelings that I need to bring to the people? What are the right words to say? What are the proper, what are the proper kavanot? And even more so, many times Hashem gives us bracha, and we don't even realize how many times in my life Hashem has given me bracha, I don't even realize that there's bracha involved. I keep on going through my life, and I'm like, oh, of course that's my healing, of course that's, I'm worthy of that, and that it should be coming to me. But if the first bracha is done, then when Hashem does give us good things, when Hashem does grant us kilos, so if I have knowledge and I have bina, I have chokhmah, I have bina, I have daf, and I have finika, so then I'll know and then I'll realize what Hashem is doing to me. And if we realize the brachos that Hashem is giving us, so then when Hashem is deciding whether to give us something or not, if we're makir, if we recognize what we're getting, Hashem will say, oh, of course I'm going to give that to him. Rishura, Ra'ina v'yayenu, Shalach lanu, or Tikkat v'shofar, or if the recipient of the bracha, if we realize what it is that Hashem is granting us, then there's a greater chance that Hashem is going to give us more bracha, because why not? We realize that it's a bracha. Sometimes we need that in order to understand what Hashem is doing, and in order to receive it. And if we do understand that, then Hashem is more likely to solve with it. Not that he gets what Hashem wants to do, but then there's a better chance that he's going to give us that bracha. So why is that? First, either technically because Chazal needs to be there, or first, and this is what I'm thinking the whole week. I'm like, I need to daven the Brach of God to come up Kamala. I need to understand, before I start spinning out my Pashas, I need to understand what exactly it is that I'm asking for. And Hashem, please help me understand when the Brach is actually coming and when you're granting my Tila, so that I can appreciate you and I can understand you better. But I'm here and I'm in Minyanim. I was at Minyanim in America this week. Some Minyanim that were unbelievable. I go every trip. I have when I'm in LA, I dive in a certain Minyan in Beit Yehuda and La Brea. And I go there. I'm watching these people. There's a guy there. He's saying, "Believe the cosmos." He's saying, "Believe your slide." Here, he's crying his eyes out. I'm saying to myself, "You know, I live in Eretz Kodesh, I'm in God's backyard, sometimes I forget." And so we need to know how to daven properly, how to make requests. God has to be first, we can make requests properly, and also that we'll know and we'll recognize when Hashem is giving us stuff. But the most simple answer is why is Atachonim the first bracha in the Bakashos? The most simple answer is if you know the famous story by Shlomo HaMelech. Hashem came to Shlomo HaMelech and Hashem said to him, "Shlomo HaMelech, I'll give you anything in the whole world. What will you ask for?" This is what's going through my mind now. I'm just sharing my own thoughts. This is what's going through my mind now. I'm saying that for him. So God said, "Say about Hashem." And so God said, "Say, come to me, as soon as you can. Ask for anything that you want in the whole world." So this is a gut check for me in terms of where my priorities are. If Hashem gave me like that, that lamb, I said, "Yes, three times a day. Come on, ask for it. Rub the lamp. Whatever you want. Hashem, I'll give you all. Hashem, you'll get it all. So what would I ask for?" And that opportunity. For me, it wasn't, if I thought about it, I would be like, "Oh, yes, someone else asked for that and got a big win. So I would also ask for that." But just as engaged for myself about where am I holding and what my priorities are, So in terms of that, anyway, now my priority should be I should ask for that. But Shlomo HaMelech asked for that, and Hashem said, "Well, you ask for that, that's the greatest request you can make in the whole world. You ask for that, I'm going to give you everything. Take your God and take the money and take the power and take your..." What's so special about it? Maharal writes, Pharisee Scroll, he's giving me a parakimo, some of us learned this together already. Maharal writes that every being that has been spoken to you, every single thing that has been created, we know what its purpose in the world is by what's unique about it. The lion, you've got, the strength, and the meat, I mean, whatever, about, we want to think about human beings, but we need about human beings about. The fact that we have brains and the fact that we're intelligent and the fact that we can think and create, that's what you need about, that what, you know, I'm sure all of us have asked at some point in our life, why am I here? What's my purpose for being here? What's my purpose? Okay. You want to know what the purpose of life for a human being is? What's unique about us? And so that way, every individual, we should also have to say, after the past point of God, and then what's unique about me as a person? And then I'll know probably what my concept as a person is also. But as a species, what's unique about us is our brain. So it must be that what our purpose in the world is has to do something with our brain. Which means that the first bracha, when I say Ata Ponim Adam Dachima, Ponim Me'itva, they are Bina Mahatra, when I'm asking Hashem for Fatima and Tazah, what I'm really asking a couple of bracha for is more of a human being. I'm saying to Hashem, I want to be more human. I want to be more of a person. Hashem, you put me on this world with a brain because I need to think. The first request that I'm having, the first request that I can make is let me be more of a human being, let me have God. Let myself how much of a human being am I doing? What does that mean? What does that really give us? What is that supposed to really give a stop for? But the next words that we say, Hashem Dezel of Nim, so that is not fully correct. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Go to college, and if you decide that Hashem wants us to college, we should do well. We should do well in college. We should study, we should excel. We should do really well. So the disaster that we're talking about, that Hashem made up of human beings, is that God? For those who don't know, by the way, I went to college. I graduated. I took the MCAT. I was well on my way to medical school, and I suddenly decided, that's not the way that you want, that's not the way that you should go. You said, I'm not very generous, and I'm not very generous. Are you sure? that's where you should be. And I said, and you should be a rabbi. I said, my mother's not going to like that. and sure enough, that night, that peaceful night, when I was living well, and I ran an achashmad for a lot of years, but that night when I said, my mom, I'm living in Israel, and she was like, you know, she's highly supportive. She said, that's right. I'm not allowed to go to the door, but I don't think she wants to come back. You know, there's a lot of... And then I said, I want to be a rabbi, and then she cried the rest of the night. and I woke up in the middle of the night. I remember exactly where we were. I know the moments in our lives, and it was a pivotal. And I was in the, at the time, it was a lone hotel. And I was like, feeling all good about myself. I was like, wow, that went really well. And I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went over, and I was like, my mother's still up, crying, and it was... Anyway, if you have grandchildren, everything will come okay. what kind of God is Hashem asking us for? What kind of God is he asking Hashem for? Has he made those real things? Yes, we need to go to college, we need to have time off, so yeah, we need to do all those things. But the main purpose of our God is Hashem giving us real stuff, Hashem to bring us, return us to Torah. The Karvinu Malkinu Lavos Hashem. After that, we need much. I want to share the following point, and then we'll try to weave everything together. My question on last week's parsha that I never thought about before. If anybody has any other ideas, I'm certainly happy to hear. That the pasuk says, "Vayikru ha'arav, now to when Esav are growing up." Vayikru Esav ish yodei atayet ishtadeh. And Esav was an ish yodei atayet. Esav knew how to hunt. He was an ishtadeh. Ish yodei atayet ishtadeh. Yaakov ishtam yoshev ha'olam. And Yaakov was an ishtam standard. In general, in Judaism, we consider the word Isha as a significant word. Moshe was Ish. The word Ish is generally significant. If you look at that pasuk, why does Esau get two Ishes and Yaakov only get one Ish? And we have this image of Esau, Esau Parasha, besides even on the end, that's true. But why he got two issues? Why did he get two times issues? And it's not like the prophet couldn't have stuck it in. But the Yaakov Ishtam, Ish Yosheva Olev, Yaakov wasn't Ishtam, he was a man, he's absolutely excited. None of us, any of us would have said boo about it if the Torah would have put it in another word. Or if the Torah would have said, he Ishtam, Ish Yodeya Sayyid, why does the prophet say two times Ish by Esau and one time Ish by Yaakov? So I've been saying the following idea the last few years. I've learned it with some of you already. But finally, Ingber once shared with me a medrash. I have not been lucky enough to find it since you shared it with me, which sometimes you wonder about. But the measure says something to the effect of that really in the ideal plan of the world, what was supposed to happen was Esau was supposed to have six shvatim, and Yaakov was supposed to have six shvatim, and there was supposed to be a partnership. That's why, Rav Tzadok says, that's why when you look at the famous Rashi, that goes to the Rav Tzadok, but your kid's kicking in Rivka's stomach, and she doesn't know what's going on, she's all confused, and it didn't dawn on her the possibility of twins. So the kids are kicking. When she walked by the big medrash, she was kicking it out. She was walking by the Gitzah with the Zara, she was kicking it out. And said, what is it? What's going on? I don't know what's going on. And she goes to the medrash of shame, which I was talking about recently from her friend a few weeks ago. And I never realized that shame and Eva were different about the medrashers, but okay. Shame and Eva were. So she goes to shame, and she finds out that there are two babies. One baby is going to spend time in the Beit Medrash, and one baby is going to spend time in the house of the Buddha Zara. And I was always bothered. That's not fair. But they said, "Prima Fascia." Even from the womb, from the moment that he was born, Esau was already destined. He was already destined to think, "Yeah, what about that?" That again, that's contradictory to everything that I hope is true about Judaism. I would hope that a baby, as you put a baby on the world, you have a choice. You can do whatever you want. But here, Esau is already kicking in the womb to get out of the Esau or Zara. That's not fair. The Son says, no. Esau and Yaakov are supposed to be partners. Yaakov was going to sit in the Beit Medrash, and that's important. And Esau was supposed to be the guy outside the Beit Medrash. He was supposed to worry about politics. He was supposed to worry about economics. He was supposed to bring home the Parnassah. And he also was supposed to be pure. And when he was sitting at the house, when he was seeking to get out at the door of the Beit HaModazah, so one of two things could have happened. Esau had a Bechira. Either he could have done the HaModazah himself, or he could have stood at the door and said, "No, why are you going in there? Let me tell you about the great God." And he could have brought everybody in. That was the process. In the end, Esau opted, "I don't want to be a part of that." He prayed to go into the cellar, he prayed to go into the end, he wanted, and that's why that explains, I think we're trying to say the book, but that explains that Adam was a brother. You see, at the end of the parsha, Yitzchak is Yaakov, at the end of the Toldos, Yitzchak is Yaakov, the Birchas Avraham. Esau said to him, "Yeah, you got any brothers left for me?" And he said, "No, I don't have any brothers left for you." And then the next month, he's giving a brother Yaakov. What are you giving a brother Yaakov for? You just told Esau you don't have any more brothers. So Yaakov is always supposed to be dead, the Birchas Avraham. Yaakov is talking to Shiva, all that. They weren't babies, they weren't 13, they weren't 12, they were old. Yitzchak knew exactly what Yaakov was doing. Exactly what Yaakov was doing. He knew he was in the Beit Medrash. He knew that Yaakov was going to be the legacy of Torah. But Yitzchak was hoping that Esau would have fulfilled his part of the bargain, and the drop of that
him, we tell us, my Miss Mary Art, go dash me. Yeah, Ishmael. You should make a lot of money. And he should have a lot of time also. And Ishmael, when you fight war, he said, you should win the war. So when Ishmael decided he didn't want to be part of partnership, so then not those years to get that drop also. The drop of the parnassah, the drop of the strength in the war. And what happens is the most beautiful part of the whole Torah. So what happens in this coming week's parsha in the Mishnah, Torah tells us, "Hakeifei Dina Bas Leah." When Dina gets raised by Shem, the parsha opens, "Hakeifei Dina Bas Leah." Rashi says, "Bas Leah, the little Bas Yaakov," what is what usually call it, the daughter of the father. Why does the Torah there say Bas Yaakov, the daughter of Yaakov? And Rashi says, "Why did she get into trouble with Hakeifei? Because she was following her mother Leah, who was also a Yassanis." Leah was the Yassanis. Dina got in trouble because she was the Yassanis. What does that mean, Leah was the Yassanis? Because when Esau was supposed to marry Leah, it wasn't just oldest, youngest. Esau was supposed to marry Leah because Esau was the outcast. Leah was the Yassanis. She was supposed to marry Esau, and in their top kids together, they would have done all the outside things. And Rachel was a teammate. And Yaakov and Rachel should have stayed in the big marriage. But Esau pulled out. He didn't want a part of it. And then Yaakov had to marry both sisters because he had both. Like the Luhana Ara, the children grow up. But he, Esau, is Yodeah's Gaia. Esau was a man whose talents were Yodeah's Gaia. That's what he was, and it was true. He was a hunter. He knew how to deal with the world outside. He knew how to deal with tricks and bother. That's why Yaakov had to get the problem from tricky. He had to show Yitzchak. He had to be able to deal with the world when not everything was going to be so simple. But Esau was a dead Zion. He knew how to hunt, and he knew how to trick, and he knew how to deal with the outside world. That's what his co-op was. However, instead of being a Yitzchak dead Zion, part of the partnership, he was in the end fished of that. He became, instead of doing it, Yitzchak dead Zion, he became an ish of that. He had potential for one ish, but he turned himself in life into a different ish. And I had this idea, I remember my friend last week he really drove it home. My friend said about Papa. If you look at Harim Yonasan Ben Azio, says, what is the definition of ish tzadeh? What did Esau turn himself into? The Targum Yonatan Ben Ezeel says, Devar Nachshirchan. He was a person of Nachshirchan, which has to bring a parish, because nobody knew what that means. The parish of Targum Yonatan Ben Ezeel, he quotes the Gemara in Baba Kama, what's a Nachshirchan? Parish, even though it's the tail end, it's like trees that are empty, that are bucked out, to aim ocean free. But they don't produce any fruit. The same who Ardam Bakal to aim ocean malacha. The same thing with an Ardam Bakal. The same thing with a person who doesn't do anything with their lives. The same thing if I don't do anything with my life, to aim ocean malacha, I don't contribute to society. I don't contribute to Yahweh. I don't contribute to the world of Torah. So then I would also be an Ardam Bakal. Esau, there was nothing wrong with his Yodei Asaya. That was the top yet. But instead of doing the top thing, he became an Ishbashel. He became, he decided he didn't want to do, I don't want to do anything. How did he become like that? He grew up in the house of Yitzchak and his grandfather Abraham, and he grew up in the house of his grandfather. How did he grow up on the road to Ishbashel? So it has to do Ishbashel and Ishbashel. So Makar Baruch writes, I'm Haji Toldo. How did Esau end up with that? Because not in his place. He couldn't make it anymore. Knock on the door. In comes Gabriel Hamala. Oh, Esau, how are you today? You know, things like that, what's up? He's bothered around that. I got to talk to him about the issues. Yeah, he's in the bathroom, he's lying down. You can go there, maybe that's my thing. Next day, Malik Rafal walks in. Oh, the father, how you doing? I haven't seen you in such a long time. You can talk to him on the back. What did you do like that? Well, what's going on? So, he's like, how's your day today? You know, still anything good? Where's your father? Oh, he's in the back of the cook, oh, yeah. fun time. A lot of times in life, when something is too common, something is regular, habitual for us, so then it loses its edge, and it loses, and it loses its fire. The experience of being in the house of Hitchcock, and the experience of being in the house of, and the experience of being in the house of Ivanov, it has the potential to be Yaakov, which could have been awesome, but there's also a danger of it being too commonplace, not realizing how special. I haven't been learning at all. I rarely make davening during the week. After Yom Kippur, I had a little streak, but that was a while ago. I guess I could use some inspiration again. I respond to whatever I responded. And I responded, sometimes I would forget. You know what the most common, the most habitual thing that we have in our life, the most common experience that we have in our life is the clock going. And it's so common that sometimes we forget. Sometimes I forget that every single minute that I'm alive is valuable and precious. And every single minute that I could be constructive, and I could be, even whether it's Ishri Be'etzayit or whether it's Ishri Be'etzayit, Yeshiva Olam, Ishtam Yeshiva Olam, no matter which one it's going to be, but it's got to be something. Because it's so common, the seconds, and the mornings are so common, that sometimes I just forget the value. And I said, you're in college right now. But don't make the mistake. I made this mistake. I don't know, maybe we should educate a little bit more on this area. I made this mistake. I didn't know. I used to think, I'll get married. And once I get married, then I'm going to change. I'll fix it in a second. And then I get married. And I'm like, whoa, now for real, all of a sudden to fix what I thought I was going to fix. But then you have to realize what's happening now. These decisions that you're making with your... Yeah, you're not learning so much now. Maybe it's not such a big deal, but you realize what you're doing so that what impact that's going to have on the rest of our lives. And you miss the davening now, you think, oh yeah, when I have a kid, then I'm going to want to set the example, and then I'm going to want to go to school. It doesn't work. I know. It doesn't work so easily. And he responded, I couldn't have said it better. Now, I have viewed everything as unimportant. And that I'd be who I'd want to be whenever I decide to grow up, and it could just happen instantly. I realize now that it's nothing like that. Everything matters. Scary thought. The future was too common. But I make that mistake every moment. No, I thought I got my plan. I'm looking around. I try to play confidential now because not to the people that are no quite continental. I'm thinking, like, you know what? I'm in Yeshiva, and everybody's always looking at me, and I always have to get free, and I always have to act properly. There was a Paul Walker was going to be on my slide, and I saw him, not on my face, and I'm telling him, I'm like, yeah, yeah, that'll be really great. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I think I'll have this work out. In the end, my movie didn't work out, and I ended up reading 180 pages of the Kovac novel. That's really 90 pages, because it's really much fun. every moment matters. I am walking home this week. I'll go back to my kids on that road on Monday, and I hope. My experience is that I call for my narrative this week. I hope that my experience is that I'm going to be a better father. I'm standing there. I've watched and I've seen things that I said, you know what? Oh, no. But I'm living my life in a Ramat Hashemes day in and day out. I don't realize that I need to change. But now that I stepped out for a second, so with all the hardships, and now that I stepped out, I'm looking, oh my gosh, why did I keep my thing like that? Why did I think that was so important that, you know, that wouldn't really matter. The Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos quotes the wrong pasuk. Why? Because we look and we read these two pasukim. Parak Tezvav, pasuk Beis. Vayomer Avram. Adoshem, Adnos, Elchim, Adnitam, Ivanachi, Olet, Ari, Hashem, what are you going to give me? I don't have any children. Verses Pasuk Tash. Vayomar, Adoshem, Elchim, Barbari, Gatti, Yosha. Pasuk Beis, the one the Gemara did not quote. Vayomer Avram, Hashem, Elchim, Matitam, Ivanachi, Olet, Ari. And Pasuk Tash, the one the Gemara did quote, which is later. Vayomar Hashem Elohim. In Pasuk Chet, the second Pasuk, is a word missing. It doesn't say Vayomar Avram. Why does the Gemara quote Pasuk Chet and not Pasuk Chet? Because a lot of times in our lives, as the second that is so accustomed, and I was so accustomed to going second by second without focusing on what I need to get out of town. How do I use my dot? How do I use my dot to have to gain what we know is so accessible? If I realize every second, what I'm saying to myself, if I realize every second that I stand, it is an abna. That's not about me. It's not about what I want. We should have a good time in life. I can tell you about all my good times. That was even in Smicha, when you go to Smicha, it's a great day. I did part of my Smicha in Hong Kong, I did part of my Smicha in the Philippines, and I wasn't scuba diving. There's plenty of room for great time in Gaza. But the underlying and most important, the predominant factor in my life needs to be Alex Allen and Murray, that is an other one in the world. But so many times, I catch myself, like, oh, there's an other one in the world. I'm doing the right thing for the other one. After all, look at this. Now I have students, I'm teaching Torah, and I sacrifice always on the program of Hoosier. I would have probably got a scholarship to do medical school. I wasn't running away from it that way. But look at me, Hashem, look what I sacrificed. I've done so much already for you. So, I recognize that there's an Adon. But while I'm saying there's an Adon, you're still by Yomer Avram. You're still in some sense of self, or a bit. I don't know what to say about Adon, you know, I ask him a few, I don't know. By Yomer Avram. And when you have a Yomer Avram, Adoshem Elokim, when you have a dual persona, I'm still Avram, I'm recognizing that there's Adam, and I know that there are right things that I have to do, but I'm saying, while I'm saying that there's an Adam, I'm also saying a Yomer Avram. What is the Pasuk Tes, which could be easily said by Yomer Avram? Pasuk Tes cut out the Avram. By Omar, Adoshem Elokim. B'mai daki Yerushalem. By Omar, there is no sense of Avram. Yes, Hashem, I have a question about something that really is running the world. But that's not a problem if the point of departure for me is there is no Avram. There's only Alif Dal and Nun Yom. There's only Adon. There's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever He wants, that's what I'm going to do. Until Avram came, nobody refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Adon. You know what's the real sense of Adon? When there was no sense of Avram. When there was only sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever He wants in my world, that's what I'm going to do. This week I was driving with an alumnus somewhere, and I told him to read the story. It's not the greatest, unfortunately. He's talking to a friend, and they're talking about a certain mitzvah. I don't want to say what mitzvah, I don't want to get involved. It's not important right now to debate whether this mitzvah is a mitzvah or not a mitzvah. So he said to this other person, he said, what do you think about this mitzvah? The person responded, I'm open to it, but I don't feel it's a must. And we started to cry. was open to it, but I don't think it's a must.
You're not.
I just start making decisions like that. There's a mitzvah, the mitzvah in the Torah, and I'm starting to make a decision about it's not a must. That's not a don't. Then I said to myself, I'm like, you know, why are you trying to think this person is so wrong about my life? Send me a mitzvah. How many times? You guys know way too well, but how many times I'm like, oh yeah, I need a break now. I need a break. Alright, let me check sports work. And you know what? I'm gonna cover it up. I'm gonna cover up my sports work because I'm gonna go cheer the next day. I'm gonna start down before, and then everybody's like, oh, that would be really cool. You know, but I don't really care about the students. Now, I'm not. What am I standing here? I would never verbalize, God forbid. I would never verbalize, I'm open to it, but it's not a must. But what am I actually saying? When I don't do something that I know is a chiyuv on me, what am I actually saying? I'm saying I'm open to it, it's not a must. There's nowhere in the Gemara that says, or in any Chazal, that if you say Yehesh Mei Rabba with Kavana, so then for men, it rips up 70 years of bad decrees. It doesn't say that anywhere. Or it doesn't say that, you know, somebody, I just heard this story, there was a guy, I think Rabbi Kron, I read it in Rabbi Kron. So there's a guy who is marrying a girl. She was from the Papa Hasidim, and he was from the Bava Chassidim. And they were going to get married. And the guy who was the Bava Chassidim, he knew that his in-laws would want the Papa Rabbi to be his own Masada Kedusha. So he was stuck. He's like, oh my gosh, I want him to be happy. He's got to make him most happy. I want him to be happy. And I want him to be happy, but I have to go to the Bava Rabbi to say to him he's not going to be Masada Kedusha. But the Bava Rabbi doesn't come to weddings unless he's going to be Masada Kedusha. Obviously, he's not worth his time. Rabbi's got a lot of things he needs to do. He's afraid he's just going to tell the Rebbe. So he asked his brother-in-law, Yaakov, he asked him to come with him for the Bava Rebbe when he was going to say, you know, I can't ask the Rebbe to do the Masada Kedusha. So he says, Rebbe, I'm so sorry, this is the situation, the Papa Rebbe, this, that. I can't ask you to do the Masada Kedusha, I'm so sorry. And the Bava Rebbe so beautifully answered, no, is there something wrong with those Tatsistas of Yalakara? Referring to the fourth bracha, I think of Sheva brachos. And I'll take the fourth bracha. Don't worry, don't fear. As he said the word, so persist the segel akharah. So this guy he brought with him, Yaakov, he says, "Amen." And the Bava Rebbe looked at him and smiled. He knows. That was an opportunity to say, "Amen." So he said, "Amen," because Yaakov, his wife was an akharah with Shabbos. And the Bava Rebbe says, so persist the segel akharah. He grabbed an amen and I'm glad to have a baby. There are so many stories like that. So do any of these stories say that only if a man says amen, so then now all of a sudden good things are going to happen? But then I tell you guys all the time. Remember when I used to visit my grandmother, Allah Shalom? There was such a chizuk from it. She was sitting with her tehillim all day with the magnifying glass. She couldn't say it all day. She had nothing to do. She sat in my aunt's living room all day with the magnifying glass. She was reading tehillim. Why? Because in the front cover of her tehillim was a list of all the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And she would sit all day, she would be this power for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes the tefillos of women better than he likes the tefillos of men. I don't know why. That's the way. He's closer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels, I don't know, the tefillos are better. So all of a sudden in culture now, we have this idea, women don't have to go to shul. To say Kadosh, 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 and bring Kiddush Hashem into the world for us. Like we're so in our minds, it's so ingrained that men go to shul and women don't go to shul. But to answer amen or to say amen Yehesh Mei Rabba to rip up 70 years of bad decrees, that's a good thing. So maybe on Friday, you can't go Monday to Thursday in college. Why not Friday? So Shabbos is good. Maybe a lot of people go on Shabbos. Why not Friday morning? Why not? Again, I have some difference between your problem, but if there's a weekday minion in the shul, the man says, make sure there's enough pizza, and when they can come, they can say Baruch Hu, they can say Yesh Mei Rabba, they can answer Amen. Sunday morning, Rabbi, Sunday morning, it's so early, I'm studying all week. Yeah, let's not be Yesh Tadda. Tick, tick, tick. The clock is gone. Why do we have to be here in tragedy? And the tragedy said, like, oh my gosh, no luck. It's one traveler. No, Hashem had a reason. She was misled at such a young age. Why do we need to only look at tragedy and be like, oh, I better do something with my life? Let's live life. Let's live life now. I'm alive. Let's live now. Let me make sure I'm productive now. Not to be in the habit of doing whatever and routine of whatever I'm doing. But let me declare Adon now in my life now. Let me do something new now. Not I'm open to it. It's not a must. If it's a must, then I'm going to do it. Got this email. I asked to destroy and hang you up about the apple time. Got a problem with you now. And if I got on after that, I mean, I don't even have to, I mean, Anyway, I got this email. Despite all of this, referring to Mr. Pointel, despite the challenges of Hodgkin's and cancer, and he still managed to get married and have three children, and never let cancer stand in her way. He just had surgeries done and probably a lot more that I don't even know about because I was too young to realize it. Although she had to go through chemotherapy and wasn't always feeling so up to it, she still managed to go to work, take care of the family, and most of all, she was trying to go to school each shot in 20 years. I'm 15 years. I'm 15 years. She's a master. And we haven't supposed to be our father, which is encouraging for us to evolve. But we have a role model here. We have somebody that in the face of challenge, didn't let challenge get her down. But said, there's challenge, but what can I get out of life that I'm still living? What are they people from it? I suppose the following story. So much to say, but I heard this week from Mr. Weinberg. I never really had this close of hearing in the first one, but I had a common download to Europe so that when I'm in the car on long trips, I could hear instead of listening to sports radio, I was looking for Mr. Weinberger. If I lived in this country, I would find a way to go to a shiur, go to a Hasidic shiur, go to a Dalai shiur, go to a Moshe Weinberger shiur. What he opened my eyes to this week was unbelievable. And he said the following story, which I'm debating. I might have a few of the, it's a famous story, but. Like you said, I might say the story every single time that I speak. Now you'll hear it a bunch of times. How will you hear it a bunch of times? Celebrate Thanksgiving. Don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Not that eating is perfect. I'm watching football is a religious experience. But the concept of Thanksgiving, there's an other one. He was still what they call hidden. He was still a hidden son. And he was extremely, extremely poor. And his wife would sell something one day, they would maybe be able to buy a piece of bread, and he would put together a pencil and sell it, maybe have food for he and his family, barely scraping by. There was a year in the town, a rich person. And he started to catch on and work with his doctor with somebody stuff. He said, listen, emotionally, I don't want to bring you this. I can't, I hardly wait for it. Think this moment. I know you're not going to take your hand out. There's a fair in the next town coming up next week. There's a fair, they're selling wares. Take this money as a loan. Go to the town. Buy the wares and come back and sell it, and you'll have money to support your family. You'll be able to live. You'll be able to live in a comfortable life. With his wife, with his family, with his family.
kid comes, gets onto the bus with all the other wagons, with all the other, you know, with all the other people, all the other merchants going to the fair, and they get on the wagon, and they go to the place. And everybody, you know, this was like once a year shop, and it's first come, first serve. So everybody's like, you know, passing at the door, trying to be the first one there, so they think they can get the best stuff. Everybody's like pushing the door open. Everybody wants to go to their stuff. He doesn't know. Most of the stuff doesn't know the next big business. He's like hanging around back there, and he's like, nobody can tell him what to do. Everybody zoomed out. He's left there. He's like, oh, what am I going to do? Let me go to this measure. And let me see if there's a Jew there that can help me out. He goes to this measure. But today, what's there? There's nobody there. There's nobody there. He takes the Gemara off the shelf and starts to do it and starts to play. But he didn't want to go to one. He says, and then he uses himself in the Gemara. He says, he found himself in the Gemara. But he loses himself in the Gemara and he loses track of time. And he's there the whole day. He's only in the studio. He's really deep into it. Well, he knows that everybody comes back in the Gemara. They come back in the Gemara, they all daven, load them with a lot of Kavanah because they did so well that day. And they say, load them, and then they get back on the wagon. They're going back to Tafel. Get back on the wagon. Where's everybody going? They didn't leave the business. So I go, what's the way? You know, we spent the whole day doing the business. I don't know where you were, but we're all finished. They're all closed. Everything's sold. There's nothing to take from anything else. So he goes back to his house, and I'm waiting for this and I'm ready. I'm waiting for this for my kids. He comes back to the house. Daddy was away on a trip. The kids come running to the door. What's your dad? His house. He's like, you're responsible for this whole project. I don't know what's going on over here. But he's lying on the ground. He's out. He's out cold. What's going on? So the deer runs over the house. He's looking for something to wake him up there. And the deer says, Moshe Leib, don't worry about it. But if you walk the money, don't worry about it. It's just money. I'll give you more money. You'll go to the fair the next time. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry. So if you saw a poor person on the street and you wanted to give him, you wanted to give him tzedakah, okay. I understand, but it's okay. Don't worry about the money. We'll work out the money next time. Don't worry about it. It's okay. And God, don't worry. Just get up. And Moshe stops and says, this is my spirit in America. Moshe stops and says, here in my spirit, I ran a big trip. And they asked me, what'd you bring back? And I asked you again, and I said, nothing. What's going to happen? I feel hungry and funny. And you go to smile. And of course, I said, I'm going to raise my own trip for 120 years. What'd you bring them back? We have the hegel, we have the habit of easy for me to forget that there's an adon. Not I'm open to it, but it's not a must. There's an adon. The adon says it's a must. Hashem gave us das because He gave us the das to look at the world and to know that we have the ability, the opportunity of avodas Hashem every single second. Atachonim Adam Das Hashem, help me be more of a human being. Which means that I'm here, I have the opportunity to do a word of Hashem. Atachonim Adam Das Hashem, I'm not so hard to do. The habit of the chicken second, I didn't realize that it's in this moment. Hashem, please give me Das to know what I can, what I'm evil to do with my life. Not because I shouldn't be a Yodeah Tzayet, it might have to be a Yodeah Tzayet, if that's my posture. But it needs to be an ish of Yodeah Tzayet and not an ish Tzadeh, not somebody who's not producing any truth. We have the role model of somebody who in the face of challenge says that it is valuable for life, even if it's challenging. there was a value, and I need to be constructive, and I need to go to school, and I need to be humble, and I need to not tell anybody about things that I'm doing, but at the same time, still, do it. There's so much information I can ask you, but I'm so confused. And we should see each other at the moments of simcha, at the moments of, at the moments of bracha. And in a world when we're so accustomed to just the lifestyle that we've been doing, and even the good things that we've been doing, even the positive things that we've been doing, our sense to give us the strength and the foresight and the insight to realize what I really can do with my life and how great I can be and how much contribution that I can make, so that when I offer myself back to the Baruch Hu, it could be inspired, and that when I deal with this world, it could be